You go to CVS for shampoo, Tylenol, and sometimes a quart of milk. But what about CVS to get your health insurance? There are reports today of a massive merger in the works. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. CVS, the drugstore, is in talks to buy Aetna, the health insurance company, for more than $66 billion. If this gels, this would create one of the largest healthcare companies in the country and a new vertically integrated approach to delivering healthcare. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is following this emerging story. Mariel, someone would want a health insurance company these days?
Yeah, I mean, CVS, as you know, doesn't just sell granola bars and shampoo. A big part of its revenues, more than $120 billion, come from its pharmacy business. It fills prescriptions for customers, and it's also an administrator for healthcare plans. Aetna is a $63 billion insurance company, and it's attractive to CVS in part because it has millions of members, and CVS could add those people to its customer base, which means more revenue and also more leverage when CVS negotiates with drug companies over price. The context here is that the healthcare industry is in flux. There's a lot of uncertainty over the Affordable Care Act, and there might be more competition soon, too. There are rumors that Amazon, yes, I said Amazon, is getting into the prescription drug business. It just got approval for pharmacy licenses in a few states.
A deal of this size and complexity will not be a slam dunk.
Right. The federal government can block a corporate merger if it unfairly limits competition. And in healthcare, regulators have objected to several big mergers over the last few years between the insurance companies Aetna and Humana, also between Walgreens and Rite Aid. And President Trump, in his executive order on healthcare this month, said he wants to limit, quote, excessive consolidation in the industry. So that's what this deal is up against.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra. Thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are up. The Dow future up 42 points, about 0.2%. Google stocks are going for more than $1,000 each in pre-market trading this morning, up 3%. After parent company Alphabet reported profits that were well above expectations yesterday, people were clicking on Google ads a lot last quarter, especially in Asia. This week, we're getting the financial results from some very big fossil fuel companies. Low oil and gas prices have made these companies miserable in recent years, but things are turning around for them. Exxon and Chevron report today. Yesterday, ConocoPhillips reported profits and revenue that beat estimates. Oil services firm Halliburton was happy about its results this week. Mitchell Hartman has more.
5 years ago, crude oil was sloshing above $100 a barrel, and the industry was minting money. Then Saudi Arabia opened its taps to undercut the U.S. oil boom, and Big Oil's profit party came to an end. Now crude's around $50 a barrel, and Barbara Shook at Energy Intelligence in Houston says,
"The big companies don't expect an increase in oil prices anytime soon, and that means cut costs, become more efficient."
Companies are backing away from expensive exploration in the deep sea, says CFRA analyst Stuart Glickman. Instead, they're pumping where they know there's lots of oil they can afford to get at.
West Texas and New Mexico, and there's an awful lot of onshore resources that folks are really interested in right now because they're much easier to access than, say, in 5,000 feet of water in the Gulf of Mexico.
After Hurricane Harvey hit the Gulf Coast last month, a lot of refineries shut down. Now most are back online again, and the spike in gas prices that the industry enjoyed is fading. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The applications are in, but we won't know until next year which of the 238 towns, cities, regions, provinces, and territories will become the location for Amazon's second headquarters, HQ2, which could bring with it 50,000 jobs to the winner. Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan came around to handicap this. Good to see you, Alan.
Good morning, David.
Now, some people have set up brackets like it's a March Madness competition or something, Pensacola versus Mobile or something. And I got warm feelings toward just about every place on this Amazon list, some more than others. But you, Alan, already know who's going to win, you think?
Toronto.
Canada?
That's a boot where it is.
Stop with the Canadian attempt now. Why north of the border?
Because Amazon said North America. It didn't say United States.
Aha.
So you can have United States, you can have Mexico, you can have Canada. One day I just woke up and Toronto was in my brain and I'm calling it.
All right. They got the weather. No, they don't have the weather, but it is a beautiful city. But what else?
There's the healthcare, which is paid for by the government, and their immigration system, without getting into an argument, is more friendly, I think, to techies than the United States is. And as a bonus, they don't have a prime minister threatening to cut down on immigration and scaring people who might be afraid to come to the country.
Well, let's rest on that point for just a second, because if you're an innovative tech company that Amazon is, I mean, they do cloud storage, they're a media company, there are so many different things beyond even retail. They want to attract the best talent from North America and beyond.
And if you look at the West Coast and you look at all the areas of technology, you see people who were born somewhere other than the United States and came here and have done great, both as founders and as employees.
Unfortunately, you're wrong. You know what's going to win? You and I both live in Essex County, New Jersey, home of Newark, New Jersey, that's in the running, $7 billion in incentives apparently offered to Amazon if they come our way.
Well, I can tell you why Newark won't win. Because if Newark won, it would greatly increase the value of your house and the value of my house, and we'd really make out, and we both know that isn't allowed to happen.
That's not how the universe works. Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Brian Allison is our audio engineer this week. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.